house and place your order today. That's conservative.edu and scroll to bookstore. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on three regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these three stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, again, thank you so much for joining us on the broadcast today. We're talking about an issue that every Christian needs to understand. I believe every Christian needs to be able to grasp and answer the question, can a Christian be demon-possessed? Now, just before the news break, I was talking about the three different views are promulgated among believers in Christendom today. One is what is called the Pentecostal view, and it says that a Christian can be demonized, but not demon-possessed. But they go on to say, demonized means to be influenced, oppressed, harassed by demons. Now, listen very carefully. If you look at demon possession, what does it do? It causes oppression, it influences, it harasses, and causes a Christian to do things that otherwise he or she would not do. Giving place to the devil is the key thought. Then secondly, this article states the traditional evangelical view. Many mainstream evangelicals argue that true Christians cannot be possessed by demons because they're indwelt by the Holy Spirit. There may be spiritual attacks or spiritual oppression, but not full possession. Now, that statement, full possession, is probably correct. If we're trichotomous beings, if I were on a lecture floor teaching in the college, I would draw a large circle. I would put another circle inside that circle, another circle in that circle, and picture the outer circle being the body, the next circle being the soul, the soulish, the psyche, the mind, will, and emotion, and that center dot, that center circle, being the spirit. That which is owned, controlled, bought and paid for through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, the spirit of man, the real you, the real me, the spirit man, the spirit being, can never be possessed by demons. It is possessed, and Ephesians 4:30 says, it is sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. Therefore, no seal can be broken. That real you, real me, the spirit of man, once we've said yes to Jesus Christ, is sealed for eternity. And this writer goes on to say that the Catholic view distinguishes between possession, oppression, and temptation. It goes on to say, if they're living in the state of grace, but if someone turns away from the faith, that is turning away from the church, the Catholic Church, and doors are opened, they might come under demonic influence. Ladies and gentlemen, that is a partial truth. Whatever we submit to Satan will be possessed by Satan. Our mind, will, and emotion. If you want to think evil, Satan's going to possess it. If you want to act and do evil deeds, Satan will possess it. Whatever man chooses to release and give place to the devil, Satan is going to, through his demons, control it. Dr. Phelps, what say you?
Well, one of the things that I would like to say is when people will not allow the Spirit of God to control them as I said a few minutes ago, then someone else will.
That's right.
And I'd like to point out that it is so important that we learn the ministry of the Spirit of God for Christians.
Yes.
And the book of Ephesians, if you make a study of the whole book of Ephesians, you will find there's a mention of the role of the Spirit of God in our lives in every chapter.
Yes.
It all goes back, I think, to the time when Paul first went to Ephesus. He asked some of the disciples of John the Baptist if they had received the Holy Spirit in their lives. And one of them said, "We've not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Spirit."
Right.
And so I believe a lot of times many people in our churches today are like that. They are not taught about how the Spirit of God indwells the believing Christian, and we become the living sanctuary of the living God. The Spirit of God takes permanent residence in us. And he wants to enable us to stand in spiritual warfare. But the problem is we will not put on the whole armor of God. And we will not allow the Spirit of God to help us. We try to rely upon the flesh. The Spirit of God is spoken of in Colossians as renewing us in that inner person, that inner man. But often people choose to live independent of God. Mm-hmm. They won't allow the Spirit of God to do that. The Spirit of God guides us into the truth of the Word of God. But so much of the time people have their minds on too many worldly things. The Spirit of God assures us that we're the children of God, but often we don't rest upon the promises of God's Word. The Spirit of God wants to fill us for ministering to the needs of others, but we don't ask for divine strength. The Apostle Paul teaches us in Ephesians chapter 1 about this matter of interceding for one another or praying for others that they may know and understand the power of God in our lives. Even the Apostle Peter says that we have this divine power for living a godly life, but the problem is many people refuse that.
Absolutely. Dr. Davis, for the individual that may be listening today that says, "I'm a Christian. Satan has never controlled my life. Demons have never controlled my tongue. Demons have never caused me to be depressed and oppressed and want to do things that are wrong." What would you say to that person?
Well, let me say to you, first of all, don't be deceived. Mm-hmm. Because the scripture lets us know, God has said that my spirit shall not strive with man always. We're not 24/7 in the spirit. There are times when the flesh is there and the spirit is there because we still have two natures.
Mm-hmm. That's the key.
When we get to heaven, then we're going to have that which is perfect.
That's right.
Now, we have the perfect part down on the inside, which is the Spirit of God. But when you go to St. John chapter 1, he says, "As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." So we need to be led by the Spirit.
Chapter 1, verse 12, 13, and 14. Go ahead.
Amen. 24/7. We need to learn how to let the Spirit of God rule the spirit man. And then we have to learn how to let the Spirit of God rule the natural man. Here's what the Apostle Paul had to say in the book of Romans. And I'm going to skip over to chapter 6 and verse 20. He said, "For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now," verse 22, "being made free from sin and become servants unto God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life." So he's letting us know right there, when we yield ourselves over to sin, that opens the door for Satan and for his demonic attack to happen in our lives.
That goes back to mind, will, and emotion.
Amen.
The psyche part of man.
Amen.
I believe we have Terry on the line. Terry, go over the question or comment, please.
Good afternoon. I am so thankful for this today. I was under the impression, because I know when I came into the church, the pastor's wife called me Legion. And I remember when I got saved. And I know without a shadow of a doubt, I believe that when you're saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Spirit, and you allow God to change your life, and truth plays a big part on it. Even when the scripture says, sanctify them by thy truth, for thy word is true. Mm-hmm. I believe we can become oppressed, but I don't believe that the demons can come in when you are letting the Holy Spirit carry you and teach you. But I do believe I've seen people and also was delivered myself, but not, you know, you can think that you are saved, but if you're not living that life, because we have physical senses, but we also have spiritual senses.
Terry, let me ask you to put your thoughts on hold, and let's incrementally look at what you're saying. You said you believe that a Christian could be oppressed. Now, go to the book of Job, and we don't have time to do the exegetical work. Chapter 1 and chapter 2, the Bible says Job was a perfect and upright man. He feared God and eschewed all evil. So we would call him in the Old Testament a God-fearer, which would be tantamount to what we're calling today a Christian from the standpoint of looking at life and ethics and morals and values. Job lost everything in a matter of about 45 minutes. He lost his funds, his friends, his flocks, his family, and all of his future. He sat in sackcloth and ashes, and he wanted to die. His psyche, his body, which to keep in mind, body, soul, and spirit, the body was totally eaten up by satanic, demonic control. His mind, will, and emotion even went into the what you would call the oppression, where Satan possessed his thoughts, his mind, will, and emotion, and he wanted to die. Therein lies the question. That which is born of the spirit, i.e. the spirit man, that is the part of the centrality of the mind, will, and emotion, the trichotomous being, that our spirit, when we say yes to Jesus Christ as Savior, is sealed until the day of redemption. Satan can't touch it, Satan cannot get to it, but a Christian can go out and commit any heinous crime that a lost person can, as he gives way to the devil, and Satan then, through his demons, control his mind, will, and emotion. So I think that's the key that you have articulated, and many, just as you have articulated, you want to use the term oppression. You can use that term, but if that oppression is to the point where it motivates an individual to do things that's outside of a Christian life and what God would have for a Christian, it is allowing Satan to control through demons the tongue, the mind, the will, and emotion to commit and do things just as the lost person would. That doesn't mean the person is lost, but he is capable of doing anything that a lost person can if he's giving place to the devil. This is the reason the Bible is so clear that we're not to give place to the devil. But Terry, we'll be praying for you that God will bless you and use you. We have others hanging on the line we've got to get to for the time that we have left. But thank you so much for your call, and God bless you today. I believe Davis is on the line. Go over the question or comment, please.
Yeah, thank you, Dr. Gunbred. In my Bible, I believe in the beginning it says when God created man, he created him in his likeness, in his image. He breathed into his nostrils, and man became a living soul, not a spirit. Mm-hmm. Well, okay. It is the soul. We sang that song, to Canaan's land, I'm on my way where the spirit never dies. No, we say where the soul never dies. That soul is sealed until the day of redemption. Spirit of the person motivates his emotions and whatever thing goes through our mind we decide to do or not do. That's the spirit of man.
Well, Davis, I must tell you that there's a lot of debate out in theological circles on that. But if you look at it with the centrifugal three circles, mind, you look at it, the body, the soul, and the spirit. That spirit, which is the Holy Spirit of God controlling and sealing until the day of redemption. There's some theologians that will juxtapate soul and spirit using it in that fashion. For the benefit of illustration on a board or illustration in communication, we've got to look at we're a trichotomous being, three-part being. And as a result of that, we need to understand what the Scripture is saying. The Scripture is telling us in what is in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 25 and following, brethren, pray for us. Greet all with the holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that you the epistle to be read and all the holy. By grace are you saved through Christ Jesus. It is the faithful one, the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 23, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So it's the body, soul, and spirit, the trichotomous being, that's pointed out there in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23 in particular. And in that verse, the whole of us, sanctify the whole of us, the whole spirit and soul and body. So this is the reason many theologians will, some will call it the spirit and some will call it the soul. I'm saying that the spirit of man, the real me, is that which is controlled by the Holy Spirit of God, sealed by the Holy Spirit of God until the day of redemption. And so I don't know of any better way to explain it for the average hearer, the listener. And again, it goes back to sometimes not demeaning what you said, but sometimes it's the splitting of hairs, whether it's the soul or the spirit. But I believe it's the spirit of man, the real me. When I die, the real me, the spirit man, is that which lives forever and forever. I pray that that was a blessing and that it might give you, how would you say, a little bit of meat for the churning and chewing and looking at it from that perspective also.
Right, I appreciate it, and I'm waiting on that trumpet. Come
amen,
on.
I am. Amen, brother.
Thank you. All going to be raised.
You got that right. Thank you so much, and God bless you today. Ladies and gentlemen, we're asking the question, can a Christian be demon-possessed? What say you? 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. Ladies and gentlemen, when we talk about that, there's some that claim that a believer can be demonized but not possessed. Well, when I talk about a Christian being possessed, I'm talking about that possession of that mind, will, and emotion. I'm talking about that Christian that does not have on the whole armor of God. Dr. Phelps and I talk about the demons being able to come in and take control. And as Dr. Davis talked about, if Satan gets in the car, he's going to be wanting to drive. What would you say in relationship to that?
One of the great things that
by the way,
Bible
let me interrupt, Dr. Phelps.
Yes, sir, go ahead.
I'm sorry, but you find in Romans, the 7th chapter, the Apostle Paul says, let me go back and read, for if we live by the flesh, you shall die, but if through the Spirit mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. If for we have received the spirit of bondage, again to fear, and you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father.
That 16, is number 16.
Verse 16 then also says this, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. So I just wanted to kind of wrap up loose ends for Brother Davis that he called earlier and talking about the Spirit. I believe that there's a lot of Scripture that we could go to if time would allow us to do so in validating that. But going back to the question, Dr. Phelps, many today want to do battle with Satan, but they're not armored up to do so. Talk about that.
Yeah, according to Ephesians in chapter 6, Christians have the great option of putting on the whole armor of God. And when we do so, then we are armed for spiritual warfare.
Mm-hmm.
However, we find that not many who claim to be Christians ever put on the whole armor of God. Put on the whole armor of God, and we can stand against the wiles of the devil.
That's right.
The devil has a lot of methods to get at us, but God has better things for us so that we can be well equipped to stand. One of the things, Dr. Youngblood, one of the things that I believe that we need to have called to our attention is that there is a lack of repentance on the part of Christians in this area. Christian counselors tell us of people who have all manner of problems, and they come for counseling. Mm-hmm. And many of those problems, the person thinks are many times are spiritual, or maybe personality problems. They may be psychological problems, but the counselors tell me they believe that the basic problem is sin, not a sickness. Many people claim that they are emotionally sick, but counselors say, no, it's sin.
That's right.
And so they need to repent. In the scriptures teach us about repentance, and that's another word we need to define as we're talking. Repentance means a change of mind that affects our behavior toward God and our belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's stated in Acts chapter 20 and verse 21, if you need to know that. But as we think about repentance, it means a change of mind concerning the truth. And the truth is that many times we get involved with sin and we need to repent. When we repent, then we do what God tells us to do.
Amen.
Many people are unwilling to repent, and that's why they are overcome by demonic angels or evil angels.
Evil angels.
Here's what I'd like to share just briefly. We believe that the problem then is that we need to turn to God from sin.
Absolutely.
Many people are involved in what they call reformation. They clean up their lives and they think everything is all right, but there's no real repentance. And when they do so, we find that they are just simply open to demonic control.
Absolutely.
If there's just reformation.
Absolutely.
True repentance is necessary. When we do, God honors that, and God brings victory into our lives.
Absolutely. Hold your thought there, and then I'm going to ask Dr. Davis to pick up on the thought in relationship to the trichotomous being a man, body, soul, and spirit, and the evidences of each of those parts of man. I believe we have Tom on the line. Go over the question or comment, please.
Yes, Dr. Youngblood. I'd like to ask you a question, and Dr. Davis and Dr. Phelps, do you believe that Neuralink, which is created by Elon Musk, which you use your mind to create things, do you think that is an extension of the Antichrist, or is that the first signs of the Antichrist being involved here on Earth?
I will answer, and then I'll get Dr. Davis to do a follow-up on that. I believe that when we talk about Revelation 13, verse 16 through 18 in particular, the mark, I believe that's an indication of what will ultimately be the mark, the chip, as I call it. And it's fascinating you bring up the Neuralink. The Neuralink is a embedded chip in the brain of a human being. No wires connected. That person can look at a computer screen and think, and the thoughts will be reduced to written form on the computer screen so that person can actually communicate through the chip that's in the brain. And I believe that's the very future of the Antichrist, will having that kind of control. And by the way, a chip, they have developed chips now that can be inserted in the human body through a hypodermic needle. That's how small some of the chips have been developed to be today. And so I don't go beyond the fact that there's coming a day when that will be the control methodology, either by drinking it, either by swallowing it, either by having it put into the body through a hypodermic or with some kind of mark, an indication of absolute abuse and total sway, total surrender to the Antichrist of that day. Dr. Davis, what say you?
Well, here's my take on that, Dr. Youngblood. Anything that's not coming from the Word of God, mm-hmm. because the Word is revealing what's on or in the mind of God. Anything that doesn't come from here has got to be demonic. Now, I don't know how many people can find any use for what he wants to do with that particular situation, but that's being under the control of a machine or any other outside influence other than God. So I would say it's demonic. So therefore, for me, I mean, I wouldn't buy into that, because when it comes down to total control, that's what God wants. And when we look at our individual lives, we have decisions to make every day. So that's the reason why our decisions, our thoughts, our actions, everything must be based upon the word of God, because this is the mind of God and will of God for your life.
Absolutely. Amen. And the other side of that coin, the advocate on the other side, I'm amazed, fascinated, and thankful to see the medical technology, the advancement that God has given in the hearts and the minds of people. But these that are creating those things, i.e. the chips, the neural links, etc., they do not realize, even though it's created for good, and it can be very beneficial for those that cannot otherwise speak, it is wonderful, but Satan will use that through the Antichrist and what the future holds for that.
Amen.
Tom, I pray that that's been a brief answer for you that was beneficial, but thank you so much for your call, and God bless you today. As we wrap up our thoughts, I'm looking at an article that talks about an individual that I've studied behind. Dr. Merrill, that's M-E-R-R-I-L-L, Dr. Merrill Unger, U-N-G-E-R. He's, this writer says, he's a well-known evangelical scholar, theologian, author, and especially noted for his work on biblical demonology and spiritual warfare. Now, he wrote a book in 1952 entitled Biblical Demonology. And under that, Unger firmly believed that true Christians could not be demon-possessed. He argued that since Christians are indwelt by the Holy Spirit, there's no way a demon could inhabit them as well. Later, in fact, in 1971, he wrote a book, Demons in the World Today. And in that book, he revised his position completely because of what he had encountered in field research and reports through missionaries and pastors working in spiritual dark regions of the world. He came to believe, this writer says, and I've studied behind him, this writer says he came to believe that genuine Christians could indeed come under the significant influence of demons and possession-like conditions, end quote. And that's exactly what I'm saying today. So when you look at the trichotomous being, the body, the soul, and the spirit, the body can be inhabited, controlled, where you want to absolutely die because of the physical condition, and then the mind, will, and emotion. But the spirit of man, that real me, the real you, cannot be touched by demons. But ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us on Let's Face the Issues. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located 1 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Tune in tonight at 11 for a replay of today's Let's Face the Issues broadcast on WBOB AM 600 and 101.1 FM.
Biblical Insight.